Good morning, everybody. Welcome to BTL Bass Talk Live. This is the best of BTL right here on a Monday. Hopefully, everybody is having a great kickoff to the week here in a hot, hot month of July. And yes, we're taking a few days off, a well-deserved rest. We have done over 80 shows this year so far. So I am actually doing a little fishing, doing a little relaxation, and Matthew, I'm not really sure what he's doing. So this is going to be show number one of this week. We have three this week that we're going to have on our best of series, and we're kicking things off going back to 2015 with somebody that everybody loves having in studio. This was one of the first studio visits that Brad Hallman did after his, and let me clarify this, his Rayovac victory. He was victorious on Grand Lake and spent some time with Matt and I breaking down what he did. And then also on the same show, our man Drew the True Smith makes an appearance in studio and we pick his brain a little bit. So enjoy show number one of the best of series this week. Everybody be safe. We'll be back on Tuesday. Enjoy. Good morning, everybody. We are back. This is BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Yes, the Nature Boy getting ready to hit the road.
Have we had a show since? Yeah, we've had a show since we got back from Gunnersville.
No.
No, we haven't?
No.
You get a hoodie like this when you go to Gunnersville and you spend $150 on 8-inch swim baits. He says, hey, I'll just throw in a hoodie. That's when you know you've got a problem.
I don't even want to go there. Oh, you said it. You know, part of addressing the issue is identifying that you do have a problem.
I think that's step number two.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing. Hopefully catch a big bass. Nothing. That's how you justify it. You're one bite away from paying for it.
One bite away.
One bite away.
That's what you need to get on a hoodie. One bite away.
From break it even.
Just one bite away. All right, yeah. Great show today. We're going to have Brad Hallman live in studio here. A fantastic effort on a lake that he just thoroughly dominates on. We're going to talk about that, talking about Grand Lake. A stellar performance, sight fishing, and what, Matthew?
HFA?
No.
Oh, Spook.
Yes.
The top water. Yeah, I was saying it. That's
a dream tournament for
dude,
me, man.
That top 10. You know, we talk about a lot of weird stuff here. And this is going to be weird because Brad's standing right there. But there's three guys, like in that Texas, Oklahoma area, that have the lanky, I'm freaking catching them. They're all tall. They look like the guys you'd want to have with you in a freaking bar fight. They just, you look at them and you say, that sucker is on them. And there's three guys. And they all have the same mannerisms and look. And it's Todd Castledine, it's Brad Hallman, and it's Jason Christie. And all three of those dudes were up there slugging it out.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna take a look at some video from Brad on the water and just I had chills. And part of the reason is because what do I like to do? What's the only thing I like to do?
Just side yell fish at me, just give me a hard time.
Well, that too. Side fish and throw what?
A spook. It was the wrong color though. He was throwing a bone colored spook. Yeah. You like to throw the black spook.
I know. I'm gonna ask him about that. We'll get into that. Why white when it's raining a lot
but
of
yeah,
people
dominated
say dark.
It. I mean, just a I mean, dude, that's the last, I guess, big tournament I'm considering Rayovacs, Opens, Elite Series, FLW Tour that was the entire top 10 field sight fishing dominated.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last one where it was that prevalent where
I can remember
guy,
others. I remember the
in
Elite Series.
Memory.
Yeah, it Santee Cooper was like that.
Right.
I mean, that was
And the other one that came to mind was Smith Mountain.
Yes.
There was a lot of cruisers there anyway, so.
Yeah. A lot of cruises?
Cruisers.
Oh.
I've never been on a cruise.
Oh, speaking of cruise, we're going to have him on when? Thursday?
John. Right? Oh, wow. That was such a good transition right there. Yeah, John Cruise Thursday. He's actually going to be driving from Virginia to California.
Yes.
You would think the AOI leader would have some sort of flying that something and then would
a
have
missile, a yeah, missile
yeah would have someone drive his stuff across the country but yeah, no he's making that whole trek
That's good.
I kind of think that's kind of like the golf deal, man. When you're in the cart.
And there is a fuzzy on this mic that just
keeps... That's gross. When you're in the cart, though, as opposed to when you walk, you know, yes. you're in the cart, boom, then it's the next shot, and it's the next shot, and all of a sudden you've just posted a snowman, and you don't really know what happened. When you're walking, you have time to kind of think about it as you get up to the shot.
I
think that's kind of like driving to the tournaments. I think you have those long hours to think about what your attack, what your game plan is, and it kind of benefits some of those guys. We'll ask Cruz about that, and then tomorrow, Justin Lucas is going to be on the show. You got a bone to pick with Justin Lucas.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I have a discussion to have with Mr. Lucas.
Well, that's a little sanitized version of what you said off air. Anyway, he came out on Bassmaster that the home field advantage doesn't play, that it's overrated because he didn't catch him as good as he thought he would at Gunnersville.
I can't wait for that show, man.
Yeah, the stats kind of prove him different, but
the numbers don't lie.
Lucas, he's coming at you, man.
Tell that to our CPA. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Mr. Hallman about how much the HFA played. So,
good segue to get him on the show before that. Very, very fiery discussion hopefully takes place tomorrow about the HFA.
Yeah.
All right. A couple other things, just some catching up to do. And I do want to mention the HFA. Last weekend, probably one of the most prominent HFA weekends that we've had, because who won on the Alabama River in the Open?
Connell.
Local.
Yeah.
Extreme amount of knowledge on that body of water.
I guess he completely changed up his game plan on the final day. I mean, we had 22 something, and then that got blown out and had 14, then completely scrapped where he was and went on the last day and had 18 and change.
All right. And then what took place on the college front?
FLW National Championship, Lake Murray, Liberty, Liberty is a unique school. We used to go out there and play them in club hockey with Oklahoma.
Isn't that the Jerry Falwell?
Yeah, they're school? Like the Christian school on the East Coast. And man, we could not go play at Liberty without getting into a bench clear. It was the craziest thing. We play all these other public schools. No, but you go to Liberty,
yeah,
you can bring the boxing gloves.
They're
all pent up all week.
All their aggression.
They get all these Canadian kids down there and just like to scrap. But anyway, they led the first 2 days. And then USC, South Carolina, comes in and ends up winning. Yeah. Liberty had like almost 16 pounds with four fish on the final day, but South Carolina wins.
HFA,
it.
Baby.
Home field advantage.
HFA.
So yeah, three. You got Hallman on Grand, you got Connell on the Alabama River.
Yeah.
And you got South Carolina. I think Kentucky won one of the Kentucky teams won the collegiate bass fishing series on
the other one.
On Chickamauga.
Yes.
So that kind of blew that out of the water.
One out of four? I mean, come on. We'll get into it. All right. A couple other things I want to get to real quick. Did you hear, and from a bass fishing media perspective, I don't know if you've listened to this, but did you hear about the head coach for the Cincinnati Reds? Have you heard about this?
Nothing.
All right. I'm going to play something for you. It's only about a minute and a half,
two minutes. I thought that was Pete Rose.
No, it's not
I
Pete
saw
Rose.
You had that in the queue. And
I know.
No, I guess, yeah, that's a no. He doesn't look happy.
All right. And let me ask you the question. Do you think it's possible that this could ever happen in the fishing industry? All right. You ready?
I don't get it. It's you know, look, I don't need you guys to be fans of the Reds. I just need to know that if there's something that we want to keep here, that it stays here. We don't need to know that Tucker Barnhart's in the f***ing airport when we haven't spoken to Kyle Skipworth. I think we owe that kid the right to be called and told that he's going to be sent down, as opposed to reading that Tucker Barnhart's on his way in from Louisville. I don't get it. I don't get why it's got to be this way. Has it always been this way, where we just tell everybody everything? So every f***ing opponent that we have has to know exactly what we have, which f***ing relievers are available, which guys are here and which guys aren't here, when they can play, what they can do. It's nobody's f***ing business. It's certainly not the opponent's business. We've got to deal with this f***ing bullshit. I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's not good enough, I won't say a f***ing thing. I'll go yes, sir, no, sir, and I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do.
Oh, me. Man.
It's a disgrace. Oh. I'm sick of it. It's hard enough to win here to have opponent know exactly what the we bring to the table every day.
I get the point. I get the point.
That's what I'm saying. Make it very clear. I don't like the way that this is going at all.
All right.
I hate the Reds because I'm a Cardinals fan and they always go down to it. But man, I'm a Reds fan now.
All right. 77 times in this 4.5 minute interview, he uses the F bomb.
Drops the F word 77 times in 4 minutes.
Yeah, and that's just the F word. That's not all the other ones. But have you ever heard a coach? And by the way, if you don't know who it is, his name's Brian Price. If you've never heard anything like that when a coach goes into a rant, it's probably the calmest I've ever heard somebody throw out 77 F-bombs.
It's a pretty calm rant. So you're wanting to swing it back around real quick.
I'm swinging it back around. All right. Now think about a lot of the times from your perspective, from our perspective, we ask guys questions. We try to get details. Do you think one time they just have a bad tournament and they just calmly start to spew stuff like this? Or is there too much on the line? To where emotion does not take over, calmness prevails.
Now, I've had guys spew.
Off the record or on the record? I mean, that's at a press conference,
I had guys, Skeet spewed on the record before. All the time. It's just, you just don't use it. Skeet's not afraid to...
Why don't you use it?
Yeah,
because of your responsibility, you think?
Well, the bass fishing media is a little different than other medias.
What's different about it? This is the point that I was trying to make. All right, is media not media? But is there kind of this underlying tone that when something like that might happen, hush hush, we don't want to put that out there. Is that the way it is? I'm just asking. This is just a conversation piece here.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we're not putting stuff out, but I mean there's really
no purpose to it.
No purpose.
So why did they put that out?
Well, that was in a press conference. That wasn't just talking.
Yeah, but it's not like it was specifically to.
It happened with Denny. It happened with Denny Brower and JVD on the Arkansas River, and that went out.
Huh. The point, and it's very interesting that Joe in Florida makes this statement on the instant feedback, and I quote from his instant feedback, it says, it isn't different at all. The bass fishing media protects the guys. You think that's true?
Yes. To some extent.
I agree.
To some extent.
I agree. And part of the problem is the dynamic of the way that revenue is generated through a media perspective with this business. You may have a sponsor that's tied into that pro of which is paying for your magazine or website or whatever it is to where if he looks bad, you look bad. So you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Right. But
and not throw it out there.
And this is the last thing I'll say about it. We'll move on real quick. I think that would be likened, though, to a media person posting waypoints, what the guy's using, all that stuff without him knowing that it's being done. Mm-hmm. And then someone be in there the next day and the guy goes, oh, well, I found out where you're doing and I reported on it and all that stuff. And then the guy goes off on him and saying, is that necessary? Do we need to do that? The tournament's still going on. I'm fishing there. What's the bleeping point in doing that? It's different between a dude who's frustrated, who maybe drops a couple F-bombs after he weighs in, or a dude who's saying, you guys are screwing us over, and this is who you're covering, and you're supposed to be Cincinnati Reds reporters.
I'm just telling you, sponsors would drop like flies if that ever happened.
Or flock.
Good point, depending on who they are, I guess.
Bad media is better than no media.
Hey, by the way, I didn't even get to the point where he talked about Twitter, about you guys need to get a life, and instead of trying to find out what I'm... And I'm leaving out the F-bombs.
What I'm doing.
All right, yeah. don't throw it out to where the world can see when it's totally irrelevant and it is hurting our chances against whoever we're playing.
I was trying to look at Hallman's Twitter account to see what he was doing, you know, going into that final day. I could not find him on
Twitter.
He's
a good man.
I could not find the man on Twitter.
He's looking a good man.
Looking up Brad Hallman flipping, Brad, the site master, Eagle Eye Hallman. Couldn't find his handle on Twitter.
Yeah. By the way, more info on the latest cheating event. Have you heard about this? In the world of professional chess.
Oh,
this
no.
This is a classic.
Truth coming in for this one, or are we saving him for the second half? Or
second half.
Okay.
Yeah, second half. You're staying, and then we'll bring Drew. Drew is in the house. Everybody stay tuned. Coming back with Bradley right after this.
Sleek new design with easy control file. The clearest images underwater with uncompromising range. Live mapping from the touchscreen. View notifications, video, even Google Maps on screen. And for the first time ever, real-time view of fish movements with Live Sight Sonar. HDS Live. New from Lowrance.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water, day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
AFCO has a new foul weather rain suit called the Hydronaut. A lot of the features that I really like about it first is the speed vent hood. If it's raining out, you know, how a person gets wet is when you run down the lake and the hood comes down. With the speed vent hood, it's going to stay up. It has a camera mount in the pocket on the chest. The Hydronaut has a two-layer, 100% waterproof nylon shell. If you're interested in a rain suit that has a lot of cool features that's going to keep you dry, you need to check out the Hydronaut from AFCO.
The Heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast-off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Aaron Martins here. I'm going to be telling you about a new product by Sunline. It's Siglon PE x8. I've been using it almost extensively all year for my frogging, flipping, drop shotting, shaky heading, worming, jerk baiting. It's by far my favorite Sunline braid. I don't say this unless I think it's true, but honestly, it's the best braid in the market of any of the braids. Definitely check it out. It's a price point line, $14.95 for 165 yards, and that could last you a whole year, just one spool with using leader material. So again, it's Siglon PE x8. It's my favorite braid, and I think if you use it, it'll be your favorite braid too.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The message is simple. Win. Coming in 2019, the Duckett Fishing Silverado. It's coming at you for $99.95. Check it out at DuckettFishing.com. There is no gray area, just silver. Check it out. All right, we are back. BTL on a Tuesday. Hang on.
I'm excited. This is the only time I'll ever look taller than Brad Holm. Okay, you got to pull it up a little bit. This is weird. Look, I'll just go down to your level. There, now we look the same height.
All right, we welcome in the man that got it done on Grand Lake this past weekend in the Rayovac, Mr. Brad Holm. And Brad, thanks for taking time out to come by, man.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys again. I haven't seen it either. I haven't seen Mark probably in 2 years. Obviously, in person, and I see Panger from time to time, maybe at a Wednesday night derby at Thunderbird. But other than that, I don't see you guys very often.
He looks happy and healthy, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't. Compared to when you used to see him all the time, he's gone through a lot of transitions in the past.
Yeah, there's all kinds of
stuff.
Does
he not
look
happy and healthy, though?
You can answer that, Bradley. All right, here, right off the bat, are you going to fish the Wednesday night jackpot at Thunderbird this week?
I actually gave it some thought this morning. I was thinking, man, I wonder if I can make Wednesday nighter, but I know my wife has a bank board meeting, so I'm out. I'm babysitter.
Okay.
Don't you fish with your daughter sometimes?
Yeah, but I got two more. Unless they let me fish with three partners, and then maybe I could put a 10.
They've gotten pretty lax on the rules over the last couple of years. I think you might be able to put them in the rod box.
All right, Bradley, we're going to jump right into it. A lot of discussion takes place on this show about the home field advantage. For those people in the what I call the four corner area, the four state area, a lot of people realize that Brad Holman is a stick on Grand Lake. You've got a tremendous amount of experience on that body of water, especially with the conditions that were thrown at you this past week and weekend. How much did that experience play into your decision-making, the areas on the lake that you fished? How much did the HFA help you?
I know you're big on that HFA, and I'm going to shoot it probably. You're not going to like my answer as much.
No, I don't care.
Honestly, the biggest impact that it had was the comfort level. Throughout the week, I was comfortable staying, you know, with Paul Smith and Wayne Diffie and people that I've stayed with for years and years and years. So every night, you know, his wife's cooking dinner. I'm in a very familiar place. You sleep good every night. Places to take care of your tackle. Wayne's probably one of the best boat mechanics we have out there. So every time we have something wrong, he's playing mechanic at night, fixing our stuff. As far as the fishing part, I mean, truthfully, you know, we were talking about earlier about a true sight fishing tournament where, you know, the entire top 10 was dominated by sight fishing. When was the last time we saw it?
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about the 06 Elite Series. I was actually a rookie that year. You and I were actually roommates that entire year. It was both of our rookie
years. Wait, you roomed with Jeffries?
Yeah, Mark and I roomed the entire season. He was all by himself. Yeah.
Did you have the Bass on Wrap that year? Or was that
no? That was the year after
Skeeter Wrap. I think that year. Yeah, that was the year after. But you know, for that to be dominated, and especially in Oklahoma, I don't know that you know, this is a state that you sure wouldn't imagine seeing that. And I hadn't been to Grand and since last spring, honestly. And I had some phone calls from some friends just about the water clarity of how stupid it was, how clear that they could see and duck and drowning, and that they were seeing 8, 9, 10 foot deep and seeing the rocks on the bottom in front of the
docks.
That
was like in the winter and stuff. And
correct.
Long time ago.
And so basically what's happened is the zebra mussels have really flourished, and they have filtered that lake to a point that it has never been. So it honestly was like fishing a new fishery, other than the fact that, you know, we know some of the better pockets that the fish live in. But you know, for the most part, Grand Lake, the biggest thing with Home Lake Advantage is and Grand's never been a good one for it. Look at my two Elite Series events that I fished there. It's too good of a pond. Gunnersville's the same way. It's too good of a pond. Guys can come in and they can catch 20 pound bags off of any stretch at any point in time if those fish move up. And the lakes that really play well for home field advantage are lakes that are tough, lakes like Texoma, river systems where you have to be flipping at a particular rock or a particular stump or a particular 50-yard stretch that they live on, and they don't live 200 yards down there. They live right here, and that's it. Grand, they live everywhere. We all know that. It's full of fish. The comfort level was huge for me this week. Seeing it that clear was amazing, and to see the amount of fish that I saw. The guy that was practicing with me is a friend of mine that fished the tournament, and he had never sight fished before in his life. And he asked me some point during second or third day of practice, he said, man, when sight fishing, is it always like this? Do you always see this many fish? And and I just looked at him, and I remember thinking, dude, it is never
About how many. I mean, I talked to a couple of guys who said, you know, they they would roll into a pocket and be like, oh, I freaking found where they're bedding. And then they'd be like, mark a three and mark a three and a half. And then 50 yards later, they're going, okay, those were the babies. There's 50 fish in this pocket. And then like, hopefully no one finds this pocket. They'll go into the next one. And then they're like, they're everywhere.
Every pocket in the lake had, if you went into a pocket that had a fish, it had a lot of fish. There were some pockets that had no fish, but they were very few and far between. There was just a tremendous amount of bass. And the thing that was amazing was the amount of fish between the 3 and 4 pound range. I mean, it was ridiculous. Now, to find a fish over four became more difficult. And then to find a fish over five, I found two fish that were over five the entire week that I saw.
Honestly, did you catch either of them?
I never caught either one of them. One of them I would have caught. I probably would have never have landed it. It was a nightmare to get to. I spent an hour and a half trying to detail and practice how I was going to make my cast present so that hooking her probably wasn't going to be the problem. Getting her out was going to be the problem.
Because of cables and walkways and stuff like that?
I had to pull into a slip. You had to throw over a walkway, under a handrail that was on the walkway. You had to go over a cable, then under another cable, and under the walkway that went up the bank, which is where she was. So I could make the cast pretty regular.
Oh, yeah, no problem. But, just the old over-under overcast. Yeah.
But getting her out was, I don't know that it ever happened. And she was over five. She was probably a seven-pounder. And then I found another one that was one of those stupid huge ones that's so fat that she could barely get away from the trolling motor whenever she'd just waddle away from it. But she was real skittish, and I never could get her to bite. I didn't find her the last day. I went back to her at the end of the tournament and couldn't find her. But
I had a question. What's the longest you had to spend on a fish in the tournament that you ended up weighing in? I mean, were they, I mean, not one hitter quitters, but were they easy to catch? Were they?
Most of them were within 30 minutes. I would say that, you know, if you saw one and you locked down, and you said, I've got to have this fish. I could usually get her to go in a half hour. I had one fish on the second day that I spent over an hour, and I beat that poor thing into submission. I mean, I drug the bait over her head, across her mouth and her lips, up her gill, down one side. I mean, I think at one point she began to enjoy it. She never would open her mouth, not one time. And the last day I went back and I had 20 pounds in the boat and that fish was still there. And I told myself, I don't care if it takes 3 hours to weigh in. You have got to catch this fish. This fish will make the difference. So, it took me an hour and I finally got her to bite. And,
wow.
And that was the one. So I had an hour each day on that fish.
Okay. I get your comment about the HFA, but when Saturday rolled around and the weather changed, all right, and it started to rain, and there was a lot. And I'm actually going to roll some video here while you're talking about this. I mean, the edge, or did you have an edge on knowing what to do with the conditions that were being dealt to you, compromised with the weather conditions, and knowing what area to go to on the lake?
Well, it's not like I've ever just gone to Grand Lake and it started raining and I picked up a spook and caught 22 pounds.
Okay.
But
you've done that before.
I have caught
some
good fish.
Don't lie. You've done that a bunch
before.
I mean, why
did you do that, Bradley?
Because we've caught good fish during rainstorms.
You've done that a million times before.
No.
Yes, you have.
No. It was, I had the day before on Friday, we had a rainstorm, same type of situation in the morning. And I actually went to that biggest fish that I told you about that was real skittish. Mm-hmm. I thought the rain would.
You can see the video. I got it queued up.
Okay.
Now.
I thought the rain would hide me from her. These fish, too, these were the same thing. These were fish that were very skittish. They were right behind the dock. There was only about 2 foot of water between the bank and the back of the dock. And when I mean 2 foot, I don't mean 2 foot deep. I mean 2 foot horizontal. There was no room. So they were very skittish fish. I don't know if it was from people that just walk up and down the docks or people have been catching them or what. But during the thunder and lightning, I thought, man, I might be able to slip in there in each one of those slips because there was like seven fish just behind that one deal. And and so I knew that I could just go into each slip and just kind of, you know, doodle sock, basically. And if I got a bite, then – but I would be able to throw back. But those fish were really aggressive during the rain and thunder. They just didn't know I was there. I was able to sneak up on them.
Really?
Did you go to any fish that other people were on, or were there enough fish up to where there were so many that you – I mean, you did you roll in and go, crap, someone's on it?
Yeah, Castledine and I both talked about that a lot during the tournament. We would roll in and people would be in places and be like, man, they're on that fish. And then we'd come back a couple hours later and the fish would still be there. So
there were so many, they were just like missing it and on key.
Yeah,
they couldn't catch it.
Either they weren't seeing it or they couldn't catch it. Or I think a lot of them is they didn't notice some of the deeper fish.
Mm-hmm.
But The rain and the lightning definitely was a big assist in these docks right here.
How do you not freak out?
Freak out about what?
Yo, I mean, you've got like a 4.5-5 pounder hooked and you're just like, hey, go ahead, just like get in the net, dude. Like, how do you not like freak out? Because I mean, I wouldn't be able to maintain composure.
I've been doing this a long time, and to just finally get a win sometimes is somewhat embarrassing that I just now got a really good win. But, you know, I've knocked on that door quite a few times, and I told my caller that morning, you know, he was leading the tournament also, and it was actually his first Rayovac. And I said, son, I said, the main thing to remember here is of what we're here for, and what we're here for is to have a good time. I said, if we finish, we're not going to finish any lower than fourth, and that's a great tournament. So, you know, if it's going to happen, you know, it'll probably show itself sometime throughout the day. You know, just relax, enjoy yourself, have a good time. If you can't come down here to Grand Lake and, you know, make a final day cut, yeah, be leading going into the last day, then, you know, you're doing
the whole
thing.
You didn't feel it right in this region. You never got the shakes.
He's not the nature boy. Come on now. All right.
Well, not at this point in the day. Now, when that big one hit the spook about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, I got it then. I had a little warm fuzzy.
That's the next one. Jeffries has watched. I walked in this morning.
A zillion times.
I walked in this morning. All the lights were off. Jeffries had this ion pulled up. He had already put it in render and was just slow-mo replaying this boil that's about to happen here.
No. When did you decide to go to the spook, Bradley?
When I had got done with some of those bed fish, I stopped. And I had actually, at the beginning of the tournament, the last night of practice, I thought to myself, you know, you've got to have one bait to cover water. And, you know, the swim bait thing that those California guys have been so successful with, I haven't been able to gain confidence in it and be able to do it. But the one thing I thought, maybe a spook. So I tied it on. Never threw it the first day. Second day, didn't think that much about it. It's pouring down rain. I went to that big fish, didn't get her to go, and I kept control motor on high to go across this spawning flat.
Here it is.
Yeah. This one, when this one bit, I thought, this might just be my day.
I mean, that's one of those delayed bites where you see it and then hear it, right?
It was a huge fish. And I knew it was one of the biggest fish that I'd caught throughout the tournament when she came in the boat. And to start catching them on a spook was such a bonus because it took all the pressure off of, well, I've got one here and one there, and then where do I go, you know? Being able to just go down the bank and spawning coves. Basically, all I had to do was, when it was raining, I caught a 4-pounder that morning on it. Yeah. I'd caught a 4-pounder on it the day before, and I knew if I just kept it in my hand in the rain that good things probably could
happen. Well, how long did you throw it before you had your first bite? I mean, did you throw it long enough to go, they're not on it, or was it just like,
well, like
to
I say,
pass in?
The second day of the tournament when it was raining and I put my trolling motor on high to go across that flat, I threw that spook out there and I caught a 4-pounder and I thought, wow.
So it was like right off, right after you picked it up.
Yeah, and so, I continued to throw it that morning and it didn't rain as long and I went on to sight fishing. But then the third day, you know, it rained for the first 3 or 4 hours of the tournament, just torrential downpour and after I caught I think my first fish on it that morning was a 4-pounder the third day. And I knew then, just quit messing with the side fish and just throw the spook until the rain quits. And when it quits, and go back to a few of the fish that you've got.
Cool stuff. All right. There were some reports out on the web that you were going to join the FLW Tour and fish the FLW Tour. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very interested in it. My lifestyle right now, that's what the FLW Tour is for me right now. It's about a lifestyle as opposed to like an Elite Series style. I have a really good situation right now with my wife and family. I want to be able to be home. I want to be the one to be able to take my kids to school every morning. And with the way the FLW is set up, with one tournament a month starting usually in January, being done by early summer, I have all summer vacation with my kids. Obviously Oklahoma football's big for us around here. Season ticket holders, we like to go to away games, and my wife and I both do, and so that's a big part of our life too, and that allows me to play that also. Not as interested in the sponsor regime that the Elite Series guys have to do it full time. That's the only thing they do. I'd like to be able to keep my job and work and come home and fish, you know, six events at high level competition for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
I had paid my money this year in hopes to get in, and they had dropped the field to 150 this year, first time they'd ever done that, which is usually about my luck. And so Bill Taylor called me and he told me, he said, son, we'd really love to have you, but you're probably going to have to go qualify. And I said, well, how do I do that? And he said, well, you need to go fish a Rayovac and finish in the top 10 in the points. So I signed up at the beginning of the year for the Texas division and the Central division and looked at the schedules across the board. Two of them were in Oklahoma, and I thought, you know, out of two, you know, I should have a pretty good shot. And if I don't, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I'll just do the same thing again next year until I qualify. But so right now we've got two of the Texas divisions done, and I think I'm sitting in 13th in the points, and Texon was the last one on the board. So I have high hopes for that. And then if that doesn't work out, I think we're sitting in first right now in the Central's after the first one. So Kentucky Lake's coming up, and finish it with Dardanelle.
So. You've done good at Kentucky too, haven't you? You had a top 12 in the Elite Series at Kentucky.
I think I've got two top 12 in the Elite Series there and at Dardanelle also.
So. All right. So there was no plan on taking somebody's place that had dropped out of the current FLW Tour to take that spot.
Right. Like I said, you know, this thing really to me right now is just keeping my head right to fish. And for me to do that, I need to be home with my family.
Uh-huh.
And for me to double up with the phone call after two events in the FLW to join right now, along with the Rayovac schedule that I have, it just puts me too far out. It's too big of a hardship for my employer, and it's too big of a hardship for my family.
Cool. All right, man. Very, very proud of you. I know a lot of people in Oklahoma were really pleased.
How many calls? How many texts?
To see,
No, seriously. What was the number when you? I mean, I know you eventually turned your phone off.
Well, I kind of just didn't answer them. You know, for honest, it was crazy. My text messages were over 100 when I got up Sunday morning.
Wow.
And started going through them, and I've got a lot of great friends. I've had a lot of great support. You know, all the anglers in this state were really tight, and. You know, I spent a lot of time with the grassroots level here with all these guys, and we've all battled it out, including Jason Christie. You know, I've got a lot of good friends, and it was really special to be able to win at home. It was, you know, in friends and family and people that have helped me along the way, and on a pond that I've spent so many hours on was really special.
All right, cool stuff. We're going to come back with the truth. Yes, he's going to make an appearance here momentarily. But
you got the you got the Cincinnati Reds manager button queued up? The beat button?
Yes, I do. All right, it is set. Bradley, great job, man.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing more success from you this year and in the coming years. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back with the truth. All right, we are back. The truth is in the house.
Sit still, Drew.
I had to readjust my seat. You had some giants sitting in here. And had it all the way down, and I'm feeling better now.
He's probably 6'5". Is he about 6'5"?
Big boy.
All right, how you doing, Drew?
I mean, life is good. Life is real good.
I know you're real busy in the oil and gas industry.
Surviving, man. It's a day you walk in and hope your key code works every time you walk to the door. I mean, it's a spooky deal right now.
I know the feeling. Yeah. I know the feeling well.
But they've cut about 2/3 of the workforce in our office. Bradley's obviously in the same office as we're in. It's been scary, but it's still going on. So we're thankful to be here.
Well, you can be here anytime you want, man.
How's the ski boat?
How is the ski boat?
It's funny. I've got the LED addiction. Have you? I mean,
what, the LED lights?
Oh yeah, man.
Is it all pollinicked out?
Oh, not yet, but it's in the frame.
Getting there?
Oh yeah. I even bought this. Okay, this is my lack of judgment, not being around you guys and not having you guys. I'm not as bad as Panger and the lures.
Yeah,
but I'm on that track, so I'm gonna have to push away. I bought David this cool deal, and I'm not getting. I don't get any money. I should, but they have a deal. And
Drew just thought there was a chance that he could get his ski boat sponsored. Dude, anyway, continue.
I bought this deal. I haven't got it on the water yet, but it's a drain plug with LED lights in it.
What?
It's a drain plug.
What's the purpose of that?
It lights up. It lights up the water around like behind the swim deck. It lights up all the water. So you just, instead of having to mount lights, because I hate drilling into a hole, and so instead you just screw the cable goes in first, and then you screw it into the drain plug, and
it's not a bad idea.
They're awesome. So hopefully it works out. So that's the status of the Smith yacht.
All right. Any fishing?
Yeah, I actually got to go 2 weeks ago. We went to
Arbuckle.
Went to Arbuckle and Murray. Went and caught some fish at Murray on the beds and Arbuckle.
Yeah, you ever seen Arbuckle as low as it is?
No,
crazy.
It's low, and it's already slimed up. It looks like it's already
hideous.
Got the green slime on it and everything. So it's but there's still being some good fish caught out of it. So
are you following the fishing tours at all?
You know, obviously, I'm a big fan of the Rayovacs right now.
The Rayovacs? Just the Central division.
Yeah. But no, I mean, a little bit of it. I mean, obviously, there's some guys out there I feel like I like to keep in, you know, track with what's going on and stuff. So it's been fun to watch. And see some of the guys have success and enjoy, you know, like the coverage of it right now.
Well, that's my question. Have you followed it enough to have an opinion or a couple thoughts on what's taken place this year? Guys who aren't catching them, any?
I know that that what I said for the last, Van Dam's in a slump.
You're still on that
still
trend.
I like it, though.
But he's still on that
still
trend.
Is. He's in, what, 35th place right now or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and obviously they're not setting up. I mean, some of the stuff's not setting up well for him. But it's good to see some of the guys, the younger guys up there at the top. I mean, that's what I like. Some of the new blood up there. And obviously, you know, our ties with Miller. We're wishing Jared would have some better time. But I listen to his stories when he comes back.
He's had a little rough road of some bad luck.
Some bad luck on some different deals. So,
all right, here. I'm going to throw something out at you. You can comment on this.
All right.
Drew? All right, check it out.
HS Grandmaster has been expelled from an international tournament after he was discovered using a smartphone in the toilet to check his moves.
This is
Chaos
a joke.
Nightleach could face
not.
A 3-year ban if the complaint against
yes,
him
is
upheld.
The Why
reigning Georgian
voice?
National champion was playing Armenian Tigran Petrosian in the 6th round at the Dubai Open. Petrosian alerted officials after noticing that his opponent was visiting the bathroom at regular intervals.
Drew had Nightleach that problem in high school.
Was apparently using the same cubicle each time for 10 minutes or more, arousing his rival's suspicions.
I'm sure he was arousing him.
When the player emerged from the toilet, officials discovered a smartphone wrapped in toilet tissue and hidden in the cubicle. He denied it was his, but it was logged into his Facebook page and there was a chess program running on it, showing his positions, the tournament director Yahya Mohamed Saleh told from Dubai. The first prize up for grabs at the competition was $12,000, £8,000.
All right.
Why is it in that voice, first of all?
That's a computer-generated voice.
Yeah,
that's a fake.
It is not a fake. All right, this made AP News, but... The only video that I could find that was somewhat decent about this
was in a different language.
And they converted it over. Yeah. Okay. And that's why it was converted.
It's amazing. I mean, we talked off the air earlier when you brought up the cheating deal, about the marathon runner. I mean, anytime you get to, and they're just for sponsors. And I mean, I don't think there's a whole bunch of money in that deal, but. But anytime you put money in something, they're going to cheat. Now
the dude went to the bathroom for crying out loud.
Oops, excuse me, I got to go check. I got to go. I mean, but when you get to Grandmaster, you would think you kind of know. I mean,
he's done, man. No more chess sponsorships.
So was he playing
he's
against?
Done.
Was he playing against? Yeah, he's out.
He's
forever.
Done.
But he was. Was he playing against another guy, or was he
yeah.
playing against a computer?
No, another guy.
Now, if I'm playing against a computer. Then I gotta have my smartphone and my laptop and my mm-hmm. iPad. I mean, we're gonna make it fair, but
dude, they patted me down when I went and took my GMAT test mm-hmm. to get certified to teach,
which he thinks he flunked.
Yeah, I'll find out on Friday. They patted me down. It was like they wanted to make sure I didn't have. And then you know what? The scratch paper they gave me. They gave me a flat, like dry erase board.
Oh yeah,
and a dry erase.
Is that
marker.
The first time you've been patted down, Jeffries?
Yes. But well, besides the airport,
yeah. Okay.
I mean, everybody gets patted down at the airport.
Drew, that was like a monthly occurrence growing up for Drew.
Daily. Yeah. I mean,
that's
a shame. I mean, which is a shame. You would think chess is being held up there is something that you know the elites play and you know a high society and smart people, and then you got cheating in that running. I would cheat if I was in a marathon. I'm figuring out a way to cheat. I'm going to find those little...
like the girl?
Yeah,
she
like the girl.
Multiple
three
times.
Yeah, I mean, wherever you have to run across and your little microchip reads, I'm going to find a map of where all I have to do is go across those. That's it. And then I'll have a bike hidden somewhere or something, or a car or those little Zephyrs or something. Segways that
right.
I could cheat. But.
Now, we haven't had a show since I was at the NRA convention. All right? And you'll get a kick out of this story. We're doing a live segment, all right, for Smith & Wesson. And this dude, his little hover round,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, these little, and they rent them there.
Yeah.
To where if you want to get around, and there is no room to walk. I mean, there's 80,000
And then you're
going to
get on one
people,
of those, yeah.
And he gets a hover round. Well, guess what happened? The hover round got out of control, and he was speeding down the aisle, and guess who he ran into?
You.
He ran into us.
Did he?
Knocked the table over, knocked the equipment over.
In a building where everybody's armed. And you're going to...
Oh, I guarantee you 90% of the people were packing.
Yeah, and that's right? where you're going to run.
And the hover round went out of control, man. Knocked down everything.
Was he a big man? He just didn't want to...
What did he say?
Oops, sorry.
Yeah,
my bad.
And then got on his hover round and
right.
left.
On your right. On your right.
You know, you know, you got liability on that thing? Yeah. You got any collision or anything?
You probably have to on that deal.
But yeah,
that would be a place. I mean, there's certain places in the world that you could, you know, get by with pushing somebody out of the way. Or
that's not one of the places.
The NRA, I would think everybody's got a gun and everybody's back. And so that wouldn't be a place I'd want to run over your toes with.
I believe his name is Wayne LaPierre. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, the president.
Executive director of the NRA.
Yeah.
He was actually on the show that we did, right? And they had all these security people come and check out and do background checks and all this and everything. And then he's walking around and came to do the show. He had four guys by him.
Did he?
Yeah, four bodyguards.
Yeah, and I can see, I mean, he is a guy.
It's more for the nutcases
out
there.
That's what it is. I mean, for the people that because the NRA, which my son's a lifetime member. I'm a member of the NRA, but they support us in a way. They go beyond what, they support things that I don't really care about that much as far as is assault rifles and stuff. But they put the fight out there on things to keep the government from taking them away from, which I like, which in fact makes Mr. LaPierre
you know,
a target of a lot of people.
I'm telling you, though, I've heard a lot of people speak. He is probably one of the best, if not the best, public speaker I've ever heard.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
Yeah,
he could have talked about, you know, building a sandwich, and I would have been intrigued.
Who's the best public speaker in fishing? Media side, business side. I mean, who's the? No, it's not you, Brad. Who is? I mean, you just think of FOW.
In history or currently?
Well, no, currently. Like, who's the? Not the suavest, but who's the best when it comes to...
From an angler perspective, wow. Probably, I mean, Boyd's got to be up there.
Boyd?
Yeah.
Bernie Duckett's, Schultz is up there for me.
Bernie's got to be up there.
Bernie is a
Grigsby,
money.
Grigsby, if he doesn't drop all the sponsor plugs.
Godzilla's.
I mean, if he just...
Yeah.
You know, if he's himself and he doesn't...
But just as a whole, though, probably, like in the industry... Is there
Earl
like
Benz?
I haven't heard him.
Earl Benz, probably.
Is he good?
He's really, really good. And then I haven't heard him for a while, but in his prime, Ray Scott was you know, he was. Oh, Don Rucks,
yeah.
Definitely with, and he's with Major League Fishing right now. But I don't know. That's a good question, Matt. But I've not heard anybody as good as LaPierre. It's incredible.
No, he gets paid. I mean, that's $1 billion.
Oh yeah.
What are they called? Lobbyists, and I mean that industry and what they do is there's a lot, and they need to have the best of the best doing
and,
it.
So. And I didn't know squat about guns, dude. I had hundreds of people walk up.
You at the NRA.
Yeah, I know. They're walking up to me. Hey, man, I got this gun. You know, the other cool thing was, this dude who collects Elvis memorabilia had a gun that was given. It was a Smith & Wesson, custom Smith & Wesson that was given to Elvis. And Elvis gave it to him through Spiro Agnew. Now, do you know who Spiro Agnew was?
Yeah.
One-time vice
pitcher,
president.
Wasn't he?
No. One-time vice president of the U.S., and there was a big-time story.
Was it him and Nixon, right?
It was him and Nixon.
Yeah. So he was not elected president.
Yeah, and I actually got to hold that gun. Dude, it was freaking heavy.
It was a nice one. Did you go with Judas? Is that who?
Yeah.
With a guy, if you had to go with some of the new guns,
he's been in that business for 30 years. But you know what it did? Line me up to do, me and a buddy of mine, and we've never went before, we're going on a deer hunt.
Really? Oh gosh.
I didn't even tell the nature boy.
This is guided. This is a guided. Okay, this is a guided.
I've ordered a rifle.
No way.
Yeah, I've ordered clothing.
What did you... Oh, you're going to be the freaking Snoopy pole guy at the...
Yeah.
You're going to be the dude...
And the dude that I'm going with, he's never killed a fly.
You're
gonna
be
going to
be the banjo minnow guy.
Where are you going?
You're
going
to be the
somewhere,
banjo minnow
somewhere
guy.
Somewhere in Oklahoma. I don't know.
Oh, it's a local deal?
Yeah.
A local
he's
guide.
Got it all lined up. And
you're going to be the banjo minnow guy.
You know, I'm going to film... Try to film.
That's awesome.
You know, the whole thing.
You're going
to
be that dude with 8 GoPros strapped on you with the banjo minnow.
No.
On a spin cast holding it upside down.
The rifle I ordered was a TC something.
Thompson Center Fire.
Yeah.
Thompson Container.
Yeah.
Single shot. Is it a single?
Yeah.
Those are good rifles. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So, it's actually pulling the trigger.
They kept telling me that the sight is more important now than it's ever been or something. I don't know. Yeah. Dude, it's like somebody that has never thrown a Alabama rig before. You try and explain it to them. So.
You'll have fun. You'll be good.
I'm going to go kill me a deer.
Yeah, there you go. So
you want to go, Matthew?
No, I'm good.
My 12-year-old son, it's his birthday today, by the way. Creed's birthday today.
How old is he?
He's 12. Turned 12.
Holy cow.
How many deer has he killed?
He's a bunch. He shot his first turkey this year.
Yeah.
Former Elite Series pro Vince Fulks took him out. They went out and did a little turkey hunting and got his first turkey. So
nice. All right. I want to get to something on the instant feedback, and then we have about a little over 5 minutes left, and we'll let you and Bradley get back to work. Joe in Florida has been very active on the instant feedback today, but he brings up something real quick. He said, should the anglers know information that's available, such as how much another angler has during a tournament, like on the final day? Should the anglers know what the other guys have as the tournament progresses throughout the day?
Now, you know, I haven't been in studio and been around. Is that not something that's new this year? Didn't I hear some comments about being able to see the bass?
Well, that's live.
Right. That is live. But there was a segment on the Sabine River where Mike McClellan had made his 2-hour run down past Houston, and he catches his first couple fish. But then he also knew that other guys were catching fish on a day when they didn't know if everything was going to be blown out and you weren't going to catch anything.
Yeah. So
he knew. He knew at the day they told him. Yes. Like other anglers can ask, which is interesting.
I like it. I think it's a good thing.
I think it would spin some people out. So you get that aspect. I think a lot of the guys that are at that level, like Bradley and those guys, I think, you know, you hear it all the time. You're fishing against the fish, which, you know, I don't know if I agree with all that, but that's what they go. They go out there and fish their plan. They fish their deal, and it doesn't really matter what anybody else is going to do because they got to catch them either way. But I think there would be some guys that would, if they could look down and go, okay, I'm struggling, and so-and-so's not. I mean, you see in Major League Fishing what that does to some of those guys. So, yeah, that would definitely play whether
especially
or not.
Especially this time of the year, though. Think about it. If you know where there's a 6-pounder at and you need a big rally, well, I think that would help you make the decision that you're going to go spend a little bit more time catching this 6-pounder, because if you catch that 6-pounder and you know where it is, it's going to be a huge difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, managing your fish, I think, is something that these guys work on, you know, really hard on what they have to do. And I know Bradley I've been able to talk to him. I know he wasn't able to get into all his stories, but he was able to catch a 6 on the final day. And then, you know, that if he'd have caught it on the second day, which he fished for it on, but it would only give him a pound, where on the final day it gave him 4 pounds. Yeah. I mean, it bumped him up high enough. So managing your fish. So yeah, I mean, it would, if you saw somebody go out and maybe if in that final day they knew that, you know, if it said there so-and-so's got 23 pounds and I've got to have, it might change how you fish and what you do. And
See, I'm looking at it different. I'm looking at it from the JM production TV show fan perspective, to where when Mike McClellan starts catching them and he thinks that stuff might be blown out and he's the only one catching them, you've got raw, oh my gosh, here comes the rally, I'm catching them, no one else might be catching them, I could be in the lead with this fish, instead of cool, now it goes in the box because he knows the other guys are catching them. I want to see that drama, and you see
that a lot. You've seen it a lot in the past in a lot of coverage where the guys will, you know, they'll catch a fish and they'll land it like, oh, I just won the tournament.
Iaconelli in the Red River Classic, he catches that fish and thought he won.
He would either know for a fact that he did, or he wouldn't. I mean, you would have some of that gone if he, you know, you wouldn't know that for, you know, and well, you'd probably, you know, when Skeet lost it, you know, to Boyd, he probably would have already known that. And so you would take away some of the raw deal. I don't know as a performance factor, other than mentally, I don't know that it would change how these guys fish a whole lot. So I don't know that it makes a difference. But for the fan guys, it's awesome to know. We check the back tracks all the time to see what's going on.
I bet. Do you have boats following you, camera guys, no photograph, anything on the final day? Does that bug you? Did that bug you on the Elite Series on your final day when you had the camera boat with you? he said that he could, you know, with his Phoenix now they can't keep up with him.
Wow.
They follow him.
Very
good. That's a good way to end the show. Good sponsor plug in there for off camera.
You come back here anytime you want.
I need to come in. I'll plan some days that I can come in when it's slower. I
mean, even if it's only once a month.
Yeah. I can sneak
come
away.
In. We had several requests for will Drew eat it, or does Drew like it? All right, we need to bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, gimmick. Come in one time in the next 2 weeks. I mean, I'm not going to be here. Yeah. I'm going to be out in California.
They're going to be on the road for 2 weeks. So you're
West
definitely
Coast
welcome.
Swing. You got excited about that, aren't you? Getting back out there.
I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Have you had Kent Brown on to?
No, Kent Brown is not happy with Mark right now.
Uh-oh, I didn't mean to bring that
up. Well, that's because he wanted him to go to this media event, but I wasn't going to pay $1,200 to change his ticket.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to bring it up.
You can pay it, Matt. You want to pay $1,200? You can.
Didn't mean to bring it up. We can move on. We can move on.
See what happens. You did, see what happens when I come in. We're already getting into it.
There we go.
Had a great show.
It's all good. All right, tomorrow, James Watson, FLW preview.
No, yeah, today. Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and then the HFA with Justin Lucas tomorrow, John Cruz on Thursday. So one last thing, Drew. One time, me and you are going to fish the Wednesday nighter.
We need to. We need to get out there and have fun.
All right.
We need to go cut Matt off and watch him spin out.
Exactly. All right, everybody, have a safe Wednesday. We will be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Everybody, stay tuned. Just to tell you I'm a fool, I still